So often we hear the words of Dr. King in these small sound bites, and they're powerful, to be sure. But this morning, I wanted you to hear his words in a fuller sense. So I offer you a sermon that Dr. King delivered at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 3rd of March, 1968. Based on this passage from 1 Kings. These are the words of Dr. King. I want to preach this morning from the subject, unfulfilled dreams. Unfulfilled dreams. My text is taken from the 8th chapter of 1 Kings. Sometimes it's overlooked. It is not one of the most familiar passages in the Old Testament, but I will never forget when I first came across it. It struck me as a passage having cosmic significance because it says so much in so few words about things that we all experience in life. David, as you know, was a great king. And the one thing that was foremost in David's mind and in his heart was to build a great temple. The building of the temple was considered to be the most significant thing facing the Hebrew people, and the king was expected to bring this into being. David had the desire, and he started. And then we come to that passage over in the 8th chapter of 1 Kings, which reads, "And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was within thine heart." And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. It is well that it was within thine heart. As if to say, David, you will not be able to finish the temple. You will not be able to build it. But I just want to bless you because it was within thine heart. Your dream will not be fulfilled. The majestic hopes that guided your days will not be carried out in terms of an actual temple coming into being that you were able to build. But I bless you, David, because it was within thine heart. You had the desire to do it. You had the intention to do it. And you tried to do it. You started to do it. And I bless you for having the desire and the intention within your heart. It is well that it was within thine heart. So many of us in life start out building temples, temples of character, temples of justice, temples of peace. And so often we don't finish them because life is like Schubert's unfinished symphony. At so many points we start, we try, we set out to build our various temples. And I guess one of the great agonies of life is that we are constantly trying to finish that which is unfinishable. We are commanded to do that. And so we, like David, find ourselves in so many instances having to face the fact that our dreams are not fulfilled. Now let us notice first that life is a continual story of shattered dreams. Mahatma Gandhi labored for years and years for the independence of his people. And through a powerful nonviolent revolution, he was able to win that independence. And for years, the Indian people had been dominated politically, exploited economically, segregated and humiliated by foreign powers, and Gandhi struggled against it. He struggled to unite his own people, and nothing was greater in his mind than to have India's one great united country moving toward a higher destiny. This was his dream. But Gandhi was assassinated and died with a broken heart because that nation that he wanted to unite ended up being divided between India and Pakistan as a result of the conflict between the Hindus and the Muslims. Life is a long, continual story of setting out to build a great temple and not being able to finish it. Woodrow Wilson dreamed a dream of a League of Nations, but he died before the promise was delivered. The Apostle Paul talked one day about wanting to go to Spain. It was Paul's greatest dream to go to Spain to carry the gospel there. Paul never got to Spain. He ended up in a prison cell in Rome. This is the story of life. And each of you this morning in some way is building some kind of a temple. The struggle is always there. It gets discouraging sometimes. It gets very disenchanting sometimes. Some of us are trying to build a temple of peace. We speak out against war. We protest. But it seems that your head is going against a concrete wall. It seems to mean nothing. And so often, as you set out to build the temple of peace, you're left lonesome. You're left discouraged. You're left bewildered. Well, that's the story of life. And the thing that makes me happy is that I can hear a voice crying through the vista of time saying, it may not come today, or it may not come tomorrow, but it is well that it is within thine heart. It is well that you were trying. You may not see it. The dream may not be fulfilled, but it is just as good that you have a desire to bring it into reality. It is well that it is within thine heart. Thank God this morning that we do have hearts to put something meaningful into. Life is a continual story of shattered dreams. Now, let me bring out another point. Whenever you set out to build a creative temple, whatever it may be, you must face the fact that there is a tension at the heart of the universe between good and evil. It's there. Hinduism refers to this as a struggle between illusion and reality. Platonic philosophy used to refer to it as a tension between body and soul. Zoroastrianism, a religion of old, used to refer to it as a tension between the god of light and the god of darkness. Whatever you call it, there is a struggle in the universe. Now, not only is that struggle structured out somewhere in the external forces of the universe, it's structured in our own lives. Psychologists have tried to grapple with it in their way, and so they say various things. Freud used to say that this is a tension between what he called the id and the superego. But you know, some of us feel that it's a tension between God and humans. And in every one of us this morning, there is a war going on, and it's a civil war. And I don't care who you are, I don't care where you live, there is a civil war going on in your life. And every time you set out to do good, there's something pulling on you, telling you to be evil. It's going on in your life. And every time you set out to love, something keeps pulling on you, trying to get you to hate. And every time you set out to be kind and say nice things about people, something is pulling on you to be jealous and envious and to spread evil gossip about them. There is a civil war going on. There's a kind of condition going on within all of us. And there are times that all of us know somehow that there is a Mr. Hyde and a Dr. Jekyll inside of us. And we end up having to cry out with Ovid, the Latin poet, I see and approve the better things of life, but the evil things I do. We end up having to agree with Plato that the human personality is like a charioteer with two headstrong horses, each wanting to go in different directions. Or sometimes we even have to end up crying out with St. Augustine, who said in his Confessions, Lord, make me pure, but not yet. We end up crying out with the Apostle Paul, the good that I would do, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Or we end up just having to say with Goethe that there is enough stuff in me to make both a gentleman and a rogue. And whenever we set out to dream our dreams and to build our temples, we must be honest enough to recognize it. And this brings me to the basic point of the text. In the final analysis, God does not judge us by the separate incidences or separate mistakes that we make, but by the total bent of our lives. In the final analysis, God knows that we are weak and frail. In the final analysis, what God requires is that your heart is right. Salvation isn't reaching the destination of absolute morality, but it's being in the process and on the right road. There's a highway called Highway 80, and I've marched on that highway from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery. But I will never forget my first experience with Highway 80 was driving with Coretta and Ralph and Juanita Abernathy to California. And we drove from Montgomery all the way to Los Angeles on Highway 80. It goes all the way out to Los Angeles. And you know, being a good man, being a good woman, doesn't mean that you've arrived in Los Angeles. It simply means that you're on Highway 80. Maybe you haven't gotten as far as Selma, or maybe you haven't gotten as far as Meridian, Mississippi, or Monroe, Louisiana. That isn't the question. The question is whether you're on the right road. Salvation is being on the right road, not having reached a destination. We have to finally face the point that there is none good but God. But if you are on the right road, God has the power and has something called grace, and God puts you where you ought to be. Now, the terrible thing in life is if you're trying to get to Los Angeles on Highway 78, that's when you're lost. That sheep was lost, not merely because he was doing something wrong in that parable, but because he was on the wrong road. And he didn't even know where he was going. He became so involved with what he was doing, nibbling sweet grass, and he just got on the wrong road. Salvation is being sure that you're on the right road. It is well, and that's what I like about it, that it was within thine heart. The question I want to raise this morning with you, is your heart right? If your heart isn't right, fix it up today and get God to fix it up. Get somebody to be able to say about you, she may not have reached the highest height, she may not have realized all of her dreams, but she tried. Isn't that a wonderful thing for someone to be able to say about you? He tried to be a good man. She tried to be a just woman. He tried to be an honest man. His heart was in the right place. And I can hear a voice saying, crying out through the eternities, I accept you, and you are a recipient of my grace because it was in your heart. And it is so well that it was within thine heart. I don't know this morning about you, but I can make a testimony. You don't need to go out this morning saying that I'm a saint. No, I want you to know this morning that I am a sinner like all of God's children. But I want to be good. And I want to hear a voice say to me one day, I take you in and I bless you because you've tried. It is well that it was within thine heart. So what is in your heart this morning? On this morning, if I can leave anything with you, let me urge you to make sure that you have a strong boat of faith. The winds are going to blow, and the storms of disappointment are coming. The agonies and the anguishes of life are coming. And be sure that your boat is strong, and also be very sure that you have an anchor, because in times like these, you need an anchor. And be very sure that your anchor holds. It will be dark sometimes, and it will be dismal and trying, and tribulations will come. But if you have faith in the God that I am talking about this morning, it doesn't matter, for you can stand up amid the storms. And I say it to you out of experience this morning that, yes, I have seen the lightning flash. I have heard the thunder roll. I have felt the sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, never alone. He promised to never leave me, never leave me alone. And when you get this faith, you can walk with your feet solid to the ground and your head in the air, and you fear no one. And you fear nothing that comes before you, because you know that God is God even in Crete. And if you ascend to the heavens, God is there. And if you descend to hell, God is even there. And if you take the wings of the morning and fly out to the uttermost parts of the sea, even God is there. Everywhere we turn, we find God. We can never escape God. Amen.